This is Ashley Hodge with Sikkim 365. I'm going to give you a post-game wrap-up of Baylor and Southern. The Baylor Bears beat Southern 80-53. Baylor evened the record on the year, outscoring Southern 49-26 in the second half. This game was about Tristan Clark and the newcomers. Clark showed us why he is getting some hype this offseason. He played with a lot of efficiency in the post. He had 17 points. He was 8 of 9 shooting from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 2 blocks. There was one play where he got double teamed and made a really nice pass to Matthew Meyer, and Meyer got the bucket. He did have 4 fouls, however. We need him to play hard but stay out of foul trouble. That's a little worrisome that 2 games in a row against competition that is lower than what we're going to see in Big 12 play, he's gotten into foul trouble. He's going to need to clean that up. Devontae Bandu was really good this game. I love what I've seen from him the first 2 games. He's a reliable, efficient, smart player. I've mentioned it before on the message boards, but for some of the old-timers out there, he reminds me a lot of Keith Smart from Indiana back in the 1980s. He just has a really good mid-range game. He slashes well. He plays within himself. He makes smart basketball decisions. He plays hard. He knocks down threes. He finished on the night with 25 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals, and had 0 turnovers. Really encouraged what I saw from him. If we can, you know, have Mekhi Mason return and be healthy and play most of the season, Devontae Bandu looks like a guy that's definitely going to be in that short rotation as the season progresses. Matthew Meyer, Jared Butler, and Flo Thamba did some really good things as freshmen tonight. Meyer scored 12 points. I just love his swagger and the energy he brings. He took some criticism for that opening night effort, but I like the opening night effort, even though he missed all his shots. I just think most freshmen, he's going to need refinement. But tonight he made a lot more smart basketball plays. He played with under control. And, you know, Butler was really good on both ends of the court. He also, you could tell, didn't play with as much jitters. He had 9 points, 5 assists, 0 turnovers, pretty impressive. Flo Thamba as well. Flo Thamba chipped in 6 points, gathered 5 rebounds. He had a great block near the end of the game, good activity in the paint. I think the future looks pretty bright for Baylor basketball, especially considering we've got 2 really, really good players sitting out this year in Maceo Teague and Davion Mitchell. It's a good win overall. King McClure had 7 assists, but he had 4 turnovers. King obviously did not play as well as he did the opening night. A couple of those turnovers were pretty bad. He dropped a pass that went through his hands. It was a cross-court pass. And then he also dribbled off his foot during one possession. And he, you know, really kept the game close because he was a little sloppy. He and Mark Vidal were both sloppy in the beginning. He was playing the primary point guard position, which is a new position for him really this year. And Southern does play frenetic, so I'm not going to read too much into it, but I'd just like to see more consistency from King. Mark Vidal's another one that's too inconsistent so far early this season. Love his energy, love his hustle. He's made 2 open threes so far, which is definitely a bonus. But tonight he just played out of control a lot of the night, similar to the game versus Texas Southern. Darius Allen's another one I think just, you know, continues to have the jitters a little bit. He plays with a lot of activity, but he needs to settle down. Seems to be rushing. He had 2 block shots, which was good. He has a 6'10 wingspan, so you would expect him to get some blocks and some steals with that wingspan. As I've said many times, wingspan does matter. And speaking of wingspan, it's not showing up in the box score, but Freddie Gillespie does a lot of things to help the team. I just love his energy. I love the way he moves his feet. He's a good offensive rebounder. He does a lot of things on defense. He'll just never show up in the box score, but really help shut down the opponent. And his activity is good. And he's got a 7'6" wingspan. He just creates chaos for opponents with his activity. So I'm excited to see how he develops over the season. Okay, general observations. I mentioned this in a post-game wrap-up or some comments on the message board, I think, last week. But I like the half-court trap. When we went to the half-court trap more aggressively in the second half, we really started to turn Southern over a lot. That's when we made our big run. You know, overall, our stats were pretty good for the game. According to KenPom, Baylor had 1.18 points per possession. That's really good. More importantly, we held Southern to 0.78 points per possession. So that's pretty good defense. The Bears that may have a couple of tougher games this next week than we expected before the season started. Prairie View A&M, who before the season was the front runner to win the SWAC. Texas Southern may be better. We'll see. They play Gonzaga, and we'll get a good feel for how that team looks against Gonzaga. But Prairie View A&M went to Santa Clara and beat them by 17 Friday night in their opener. That certainly raised my eyebrows a little bit. We're going to need to bring it Monday because, obviously, that's a team that's got some confidence coming into the Farrell Center. Nicholls State's another one. I watched them play Louisville. I watched the end of the game, second half. We played them next Friday at 11 a.m. They had Louisville sweating. I mean, that was a 2-4 point game down the stretch. They ended up losing by 13 points, but it was close. And really, the difference between that game and the Texas Southern game that we lost to Texas Southern was they didn't hit the shots down the stretch that Texas Southern did hit. So, you know, that's definitely not one that we need to take lightly as well. We may have two tougher games this week than we expected before the season. But we need to get polished and ready for this Thanksgiving tourney. Obviously, getting Mekhi Mason back would be great. Hopefully, we see him play his first game on Monday. Other Big 12 games of note. I watched the TCU this past week. I watched them against Cal State Bakersfield. They ended up winning by 5. But again, that was another game that was a 2-point, 3-point game down the stretch. In fact, Cal State Bakersfield led most of that game. Old Damian Durham, who started his career at Baylor, transferred quickly out to Cal State Bakersfield. He hit some big threes in that game. They didn't have Jalen Fisher, TCU didn't, or Kuat Nwai, I think that's how you pronounce his name. So, you know, kind of like us, without Mario Kegler and Mekhi Mason, you can't really take too much out of that game without two key players. But they do have a lot of athletes, and, you know, they have a couple of Aussies, New Zealanders, that have departed assistant coach David Patrick, who's now the head coach at UC Riverside. Patrick helped secure those commitments before he left. They look athletic, but it's hard to tell without those two pieces of Jalen Fisher and Nwai. They were lucky to escape with a victory, though. Iowa State had a good win against Missouri. They won without Cameron Lard. They beat him by double digits. And I think Cameron Lard suspended for 8 games. I read that. So, you know, when they get him back, they're gonna be a team that's probably undervalued in the preseason. They may be a top 5 Big 12 team, you know, almost certainly. They look like that after that big win against Mizzou. Texas beat Arkansas in overtime. Good win for Texas. Good win for the conference. You know, as Shaka looks to break his 6-game losing streak against Scott Drew this year, that may give him some momentum to set his goals high for that. Kansas beat Michigan State in their opener. It's a good win for the Jayhawks. They have a loaded squad. You know, I think there's, obviously we know they've always got talent. And for those of us that are following the FBI investigation on college basketball, we're beginning to understand why. It's not all about playing for a successful coddled program. There are some other incentives at work as well. So West Virginia, they blew a lead against Buffalo and they lost in overtime to the Bulls. Buffalo has a really good backcourt. They blew out Arizona in the first round of the NCAA tournament. They've got a couple of those guys back. C.J. Massenburg put on a show against the Mountaineers on the road. West Virginia really looked lost. I watched the end of that game. They looked lost without James Bolden, who went out of the game with an injury. And I read that he also sat out the Penn State scrimmage, and Penn State got the best of them without Bolden in there as well. So for all the talk about Kanate and Issa Ahmad and Lamont West, Bolden looks to be the most important player for the Mountaineers for sure, at least by judging their performance in overtime against Buffalo, who really took control of that game late when Bolden went out of the game and then, you know, just separated quickly in overtime. And speaking of blowing big leads, I didn't see any of this game, but OSU was up 21 against Charlotte and ended up losing that game. So two pretty tough losses for the conference when you consider the West Virginia game and then also the Oklahoma State game and, of course, our own Baylor Bears losing their opener. Just some general comments about football. I love the chippiness and the fight that the football team showed in the freezing temperatures at Iowa State. Charlie Brewer played an outstanding game. I'm still baffled as to why he was ejected for complaining about a spot late in the game. Those refs have a tough job, especially in a game that involves a little skirmish and tempers were flaring, but it just seemed like a ridiculous ejection. and really killed Baylor's chances to pull off a great comeback in the fourth quarter. But we have a bright future ahead for football. We need all the Bears to pack that stadium against TCU. Hope you come out to the tailgate, get some Barnetts, get some of the refreshments that we have out there for free. You'll have a good time. Come out to the stadium, come early, tailgate, and really pack that stadium and cheer on the Bears. The Bears are 4-1 at home this year, and we need to be 5-1 after next weekend as we look to that TCU game. I'll be back with comments after the Prairie View A&M game. We plan on getting some commentary going with Larry Gatewood and Tweety Carter on the message boards. You know, perhaps Fred Ellis as well. I haven't checked with him to see if his schedule will allow. But it's similar to what we do with J.J. Joe and Brian Nance for football. And so we'll have questions, and those guys will answer those questions during the week. So this has been a Sikkim 365 podcast. Thanks to all our sponsors. Thanks to Right House Realty for all the work that he does for the site. Thanks for Barnett's doing a terrific job supplying food for our tailgates. They're a great partner with us. And we just have so many good partners and appreciate all the support that they give us. We'll talk to you after the Prairie View A&M game on Monday.